Masechet Avodah Zarah, Perek Bet, Mishnah Vav. Here in this Mishnah, we'll talk about different food items of idolaters which are prohibited from eating according to the rabbis. Here, it's not that we're nervous that they were used for Avodah Zarah, but we're nervous that maybe they were maybe they include something that's not kosher, even though it's not obvious to us, or we're nervous that we don't want people to be too social with idol worshippers, which could lead to intermarriage. So therefore, the rabbis prohibited the consumption of certain items. Mishnah says, "Elu devarim shel ovdei kochavim asurin." The following items of idol worshippers are prohibited to eat. Ve'en isuran isur hana'a. But the prohibition against them is not a prohibition against having benefit from them, only against eating them. Halav shehalavo oved kochavim ve'en Israel ro'ehu. Milk that an idol worshipper milked without a Jew seeing him. Obviously, we're talking about kosher milk over here. Not kosher milk would be obvious. Pig milk, can't eat from the Torah. So here we're talking about kosher milk that a Jew didn't see the milking of the animal. We're nervous that the non-Jew over here may have added to the mix less expensive non-kosher milk, and it wouldn't be apparent to us. Of course, if you see pig's milk, you could tell by the off-white color that it's not kosher. It's different than cow's milk, which is white. But when it's mixed in to dilute the cow's milk in order to give the idol worshiper more profit, because it's cheap pig's milk. So he may mix it in, and therefore someone is not going to notice, and they're going to eat or drink non-kosher milk. So that would be prohibited. But the prohibition is only to drink it, having benefit from it, like even things that are prohibited from the Torah. If you have something that's not kosher, you're allowed to benefit from it. So that's the limit that Hachamim put onto it. As well, the hapat, the hashemen shelahen, likewise the bread and the oil of idol worshippers is also prohibited. The bread that we're talking about and the oil, we wanted to make a separation between the Jew and the Gentile in order to make sure that they weren't too social, which could eventually lead to intermarriage. It was very difficult to stay away from all of the bread of idol worshippers. So Hachamim, they only prohibited the bread that came from a person's private home. But pat paltad, bread from an idol worshipper's bakery, as long as the ingredients and all of the kelim, the utensils, are kosher, would be permitted for somebody to eat. The oil would be prohibited in all places. But Rabbi, bet dino hitiru bashemen, Rabbi, and the bet din that he had reversed the decree against oil, and they permitted the oil of idol worshippers. They saw that the decree wasn't taking hold amongst the Jewish people, therefore they had the ability to reverse the earlier decree. Ushlakot, cooked food of idol worshippers, also became prohibited because Hachamim wanted to keep distance between the Jew and the Gentile because of intermarriage reasons. This is called Bishul Akum, the cooked item of an idol worshipper. Hachamim prohibited it, even if it was cooked in kosher utensils and all of the food is kosher. We're nervous that the cooking process itself is going to bring a certain friendship between the cook and the person eating it, and therefore Hachamim banned eating shilakot, cooked items of a non-Jew. Only foods that really are qualitatively enhanced by the cooking process are problematic to eat. And that's why something that is ne'echal hai, something that's edible raw, is not a problem of bishul akum. Likewise, something that's lo oleh al shulchan melachim, that isn't served on a king's table, it's not that big of a deal if a non-Jew cooked it for you. So therefore, that would become permitted as well. Ukvashin shidarkan latet letochan yayin vehometz, pickled foods, vegetables, fish, meat, that a person would normally add wine or vinegar to as part of the pickling process. We're nervous that what was added to that is not kosher, so therefore you're not allowed to eat from it. But benefit would still be allowed because the wine that was added to there is so disintegrated that there's not even possibly any flavor or taste involved in the final product. So benefit would still be allowed in that situation. Vitarit terufa, very finely chopped tarit fish are permissible. Even if the fins and scales are missing, as long as it was chopped in big pieces where you could actually see and recognize that it was tarit, it would be permitted in that case. But if it was so finely chopped where you can't see the head, you can't see the spine of the fish, there's no way to tell what it is whatsoever, that's not allowed to be eaten because it's possible that the non-Jew mixed in not kosher fish into it. That's a problem. Vesir she'en badaga kilbit shotetet bo. Also fish brine. Fish brine is the juice that comes out of a fish when it's salted. That type of fish brine would be technically permissible, but we're nervous that the fish brine of an idol worshiper has the brine of a not kosher fish, and that's prohibited. Unless there's the kilbit. The kilbit is actually a not kosher fish. If that's swimming in the brine, then it becomes permissible, because this type of not kosher fish could actually only survive in kosher tahor brine. So that's the way that we would know it's actually kosher brine. The hilak fish is a small fish that doesn't have fins or scales when it's young, but it eventually develops them, so therefore it's technically kosher. But you can't purchase it from a non-Jew, because if you purchase it from a non-Jew, it's possible that he actually switched the fish, and he'll tell you that it doesn't have fins and scales because it's this hilak, but in reality it's a not kosher fish. The koret shel hiltit, the grain of chopped hiltit. Hiltit is a very sharp tasting vegetable. Think of an onion or something like that. We say that if a non-Jew had a knife that was used for not kosher items, the knife absorbs the flavor of the food. And then when the idol worshiper then uses that food to cut hiltit with that same knife, the flavor of the non-kosher food is drawn out of the knife, and it's added, and it becomes part of the hiltit, and it prohibits the hiltit. And that could be even if it's after 24 hours since he used that not kosher knife. It continues because of the sharpness of the hiltit to renew that taste that was in the knife, and it makes the hiltit not kosher, even though generally we say that if a food absorbed not kosher food, if a knife absorbed not kosher food, if it was more than 24 hours, it's a bad taste, and therefore it doesn't really enhance the flavor whatsoever. With the hiltit, it doesn't work like that, and it becomes forbidden even if it's after 24 hours. All of these situations of umelach salkontit, the salkontit salt, which was a coarse white salt that had pig fat added to it, or not kosher fish added to it. It was a delicacy by the aristocracy in Rome. In all of these cases, hare elu asurin, they're prohibited, you're not allowed to consume them, you're not allowed to eat them. Ve'en isuran isur hana'ah, but the prohibition against them is only consumption, eating, but you're allowed to have benefit from them. That is how we hold halachically.